This is the worst trending topic on Twitter. Like, best video game sequel, and all these answers suck. We should record a podcast.
Boom, button's hit.
Wow.
Button is hit.
Killzone 2. They forgot Killzone 2.
Sucked before.
No one forgot Killzone 2.
I would never forget Killzone in any context.
I want to submit specifically Ninja Gaiden to Sigma?
No! What? What are you... No!
Yes, that is, all, Ninja Gaiden. That's all
let's,
I wanted.
Let's start our podcast.
Back,
I can't have
back.
This. No.
Why Sigma
3?
Why Sigma
2? 2?
Why
1?
Sigma
2? Mark.
Because I knew it would upset you, Jackson.
Did you actually believe that?
No, I said it literally to upset you.
Oh, well, in that case, I don't care.
Turns out it was a great success.
Whatever.
I'm making a note here. Huge success.
You know, Portal 2, now that you mentioned
no!
it.
No!
No, I don't.
Danganronpa V3.
No! Six, if you don't start this podcast, we're all going to quit.
As a sequel to Danganronpa 2, I'll take it, but... Hello, friends and folks, and welcome back to Romance of the Two Networks. We're here talking about Wushu and Wei and, just the kingdoms sink further into I guess Wu's still good. But the other
I was going to say, two of the kingdoms fucked. The one I'm backing, doing all right.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you picked your horse. You picked your horse well. I feel like I'm still saddled to the Sao train because of Sao Sao, but I've never felt worse about it. I'm Six Detmar.
I'm Jennifer Uncle.
Scanline Media.
I'm Jackson Tyler.
And I'm Em.
And we're here for chapters 85, 86, and 87. Before we get into it, do we have anything to say about 87?
I mean, what do you mean? You should summarize it before we talk about it.
I thought it was a nothing chapter. But chapter 85, First Ruler Liu finds a guardian for his heir. Zhuge Liang calmly holds off five armies. Cao Pi attempts to invade Wu against the advice of all his commanders and is soundly defeated. In Shu, Emperor Bei succumbs to illness and passes away. His first son, Lu Shan, is made Emperor Shan, with Kong Ming as his prime minister and honorary father, and Zhao Zilong as his protector. Cao Pi seizes this opportunity and attempts attack on the Riverlands now. Emperor Shan is alarmed to find that Kong Ming has taken ill and is refusing all visitors. After several days, he goes to see the prime minister himself and finds him lost in thought. Kong Ming reveals he's already countered four of Wei's five armies, but for the last one, he yet wants for an able spokesperson to turn them around. After reassuring the emperor, a courtier named Deng Zi catches Kong Ming's eye, and the prime minister asks him what he should do. Deng Zi is of the same mind as Kong Ming, so he is made the spokesperson to turn the army around. What would be the outcome of his mission? Read on.
Liu Bei just dies. He just dies. After all of our conversations, he just keels over and drops dead.
Last week was very funny for me. Like, how long is he going to last? How's it going to go for Liu Bei? He's going to walk to the next room and go, I've made a huge mistake, and fucking die. Like, that's what's going to happen to Liu Bei.
Yeah, sometimes history catches up with the myth, because doesn't feel like this was the storybook way this goes, but yeah, he just gets sick. He's just like, okay, well, shit.
Zhao Zilong, the fourth musketeer, still holding it down.
Yep.
Just lost everything. Always a bridesmaid, never a bride. Just straight up loser of history here.
That's not true. He is the protagonist of the Dynasty Warriors games.
Is he really?
Yeah, he's the guy on the main cover on all of them. He's the Dynasty Warriors guy.
Oh, I did not know that. That's cool. I mean, you know what? That makes sense, honestly.
Yep.
I mean, he's just like a dynastic salaryman, right? He's just there with the company for the long haul.
I would watch an anime called Dynastic Salaryman.
It's a wrestling anime.
He's just like, I mean, you know, basically now Kong Ming's in charge, which actually will probably go better for me.
Will it?
In terms of health for the kingdom, maybe Kong Ming being in charge is for the best. In terms of me liking where the book goes, this is probably the worst possible outcome because it means that we're going to just have a bunch of chapters where Kong Ming pulls some bullshit and it all works miraculously well because he's just playing four-dimensional chess, like hiding away from everyone and making them come to him. And he's like, oh, while I was pretending to be sick, I secretly foiled all of these armies, except for this one. You go take care of that for me.
The thing about Kong Ming, and like this is like more next chapter stuff also, but like your brilliant strategist is the guy you go to create the plan. Everyone's like, I don't know if this will work. And you're like, I'm the king. I back his plan. I think we should do it. And you're the one who smooths over all the shit where Kong Ming doesn't know how to treat people and is a weirdo and make it work. That person's gone. That's Kong Ming now. He's got to do all that work on top of creating all the plans. You don't put your like ideas guy in charge of the company.
But on the other hand, Emperor Bei was really one for, especially at the end there, really wasn't making good use of Kong Ming there. And like, I'm not saying like, wow, bad use of assets. It's just sort of like, there wasn't a lot going for the Emperor by the time he passed away.
If you mean that like Shu has always been just the worst and will continue to be the worst, I've been on this train since it started.
I don't think it's always been, well, okay. I think it has gone downhill as far as like having any kind of like morals or like driving like thesis of the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, it is just a collection of people who like don't want to work for anyone else, basically.
Yeah.
And they've convinced themselves that it's this whole righteous thing. I mean, like, you know, and you know, the book is with them, right? Like, chapter 87, it says, you know, like, the rebels lead a heaven-defying army, right? Like, it's all bought into this narrative, but, like, there's nothing noble about Shu here.
No. No, there never was.
I mean, I think there was a period. Maybe not about Shu, but there was a period with Xuanda when I think his campaign was maybe a bit misguided, but noble in purpose.
Yeah, that was 10 years ago at this point.
I know, but like every scrap of that is gone now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the highlight of his campaign was him like putting everyone, I mean, the highlight of his campaign was doing whatever he could, pulling out all the stops so that the villagers could flee with him, even though it put things in jeopardy, because he was looking out for the people back then, and then by the time we got to his final moments, he was killing people for blood sport and terrifying everyone.
I think the highlight of his campaign was when he was spent a year stress gardening in the capital.
That was good. That was pretty good.
I don't know how to deal with these feelings. I'm just going to garden really intensely for a year and hope that conveys my spirit of rebellion. It did not.
Yeah, no, it's just, our new Emperor Shan, at least thus far in these chapters here, is just sort of there to be like, wow, Kong Ming, you're so cool. I'm so glad you're my honorary father, and please just do what you think is best. I'm just here for you. And I hope this kid grows a spine.
This is hilariously just the position that they're all mad about Cao Cao being in 20 years ago now. He's got a young emperor who can't do shit, and the prime minister's doing everything and telling him what to do, and is the actual person in charge. This is what they were mad at. This was everyone's objection in the first place.
Yeah. Yeah. And as he's dying, like Emperor Bei specifically is like, listen, if you're schooling Lu Xun and you think he's just shitty, just kick him out and just become emperor.
Liu Bei does say that. He does say that.
And Kang Ming's mostly just like, what the hell is wrong with you?
But he's we've seen there have been so many protestations in this book. I feel like Kong Ming's protestations are calculated enough where he's like, oh no, I could never. But I mean, I could.
Yeah. For a while, it seemed like he was mostly there to fulfill an obligation before he went back home, but now it seems like he's dead set on making the reunification happen at all costs.
Yeah. Yeah. And as part of that reunification, we get the grand effort going into chapter 86 to thwart Zhang Wen. Qin Mi shows genius in debate. To defeat Cao Pi, Zhu Shen employs fire in attack. A messenger from Wei arrives before Deng Zi, offering to split the Riverlands with Wu. Sun Quan sees that Wei's invasion is struggling and receives Deng Zi. Deng Zi convinces Sun Quan to make peace with Shu in the wake of its new monarch, and the two nations become fast friends. Angered, Cao Pi tries another invasion of the Southlands despite the counsel of his advisors, but Wu beats him back again. Back in the south, the four southern districts have joined with the Man Nation to rebel. Kong Ming and Zhao Zilong move to deal with it. How will the campaign turn out? Read on.
Oh, I like this chapter. This chapter's good. It is nice to be back in some, like, hey, we're sending someone to do some diplomacy and to say some cool, my incredible skills of rhetoric shit, and everyone gets really impressed in the big one of those. I love these chapters. It's been a while since this.
I am on board with the Wu train, right? But Sun Quan does continue to suck, and him being like, oh, they've got a messenger? Let's set on a pot of boiling oil and see what they think about that. And Deng Zi's like, are you serious right now?
Yeah.
What are we doing?
As a result of that, he gets totally intimidated into heeding this every person's word, even though this person's just a messenger. The messenger's like, fuck your pot. Come talk to me like a human or perish. And this king of a kingdom is like, oh, I guess I better listen to whatever you have to say because you seem pretty smart.
And just every time the conversation's not going the way he wants, he's like, fine, I'm going to go boil myself. And Sun Quan's like, no. what a doofus.
Yep. He shows up, owns them all with logic, and they're like, damn, we're friends now.
And then after he owns them all with logic, he Sun Quan's like, all right, we can be friends now. And he's like, I just owned you all with logic in like 5 minutes. Someone else is just going to show up and do this. You're too easy. And he's like, no, I'm not easy. I'm really not easy. And he's like, okay.
This is why it's good. Now the old guard are just fucking dead. We can get back to what matters. We can get back to this kind of bullshit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it is good that we're finally getting some fun, you know, negotiation again. And also, like, it is good that they're, I appreciate Deng Zi feeling free to, it seemed like, speak his mind, right? Like, away from state and ruler. He's like, listen, our nations were at war because our king was really pissed off for kind of no good reason. He's dead now. Can we move on?
It was a really dumb war. It was a stupid war.
But at least he died mad, lol.
Meanwhile, the Southlands negotiator comes and visits the Riverlands, and a drunken man, Qin Mi, just wanders in and just schools him really hard, and then to save face, they have to be like, oh no, okay, this everything's okay now. Everyone just go to bed. You're all drunk.
I need Wei to get something. This is just sad now.
Sal P fucking sucks. He sucks so bad. Really bad. There's a bit in the chapter where everyone is like, "Hey, do not invade the Southland." I know we said to, but that they were coming off some defeats. Now they've won big. Everything's going well for them. Don't fucking do it. Just do not do it. It will go badly for you. And he goes, "I understand your points. I will be invading the Southland."
Sal lived too large, and of course, even with a slightly more competent replacement, it'd be hard to live up to his stature, but Sal P doesn't even try.
And, the way he's been contextualized so far, the way he's been, the language they've used around him, I think it's in Chapter 85, where he sends an attack against the Riverlands, and he's like, "Oh, it's got overwhelming numbers," and all his advisors are like, "They've got their strategic advantage, so you're gonna get your ass kicked." And he's like, "Ridiculous," and he gets his ass kicked, and I think the phrase it uses is, "Sal P was perplexed." This man's a moron. Oh, boy. I don't think they're going to win the War of the Three Kingdoms. I just have this weird feeling.
This is you coming in like the football team in Beetlejuice. I don't think they survived that crash.
I was so on board the Cao Cao train. And I got to be honest, my resolve was only made stronger by the opposition of cowards. And now it's all wasted.
Who's the coward? Cao Cao's own actions? Sure.
No, you.
No, I know what you meant.
Sorry, I just sound like you didn't understand. I thought I would clarify.
No, I knew exactly what you were talking about.
I mean, listen, he was a piece of shit, but he was my piece of shit.
All right.
Meanwhile, your piece of shit, you don't have one anymore.
I support democracy.
This is gonna go great for you.
New pinned tweet.
Oh boy.
My allegiance is to the Republic, to democracy.
Alright, I guess I'll knock out chapter 87 here. The Prime Minister musters a massive force and conquers the southern rebels. The Man King leads a heaven-defying army and is captured for the first time.
So I know you don't have a lot here. You're like, what's there a lot? The thing that matters here is that I read the next couple chapter titles, and we're about to enter the world of bullshit. So
wait, I didn't read beyond this because. Okay.
You read ahead wanting to know when Liu Bei died, right? That was why you're reading the chapter.
No. I just wanted to see what the next couple chapter titles were, because sometimes I just what's next? How could this possibly go?
Okay, good. All right, great.
You know, so when a filler arc goes on for too long.
Okay, so Kong Ming meets Guan Suo, the third son of Lord Guan, who joins to help crush the rebellion. Kong Ming plays the rebels against each other and bests them, but the Man King, Meng Huo, refuses to submit. Kong Ming releases Meng Huo, getting him to agree that if he loses the next time they meet, he will submit. How will their next encounter turn out? Read on.
I'm reading.
Would you like
Don't
to read
you worry
the,
about it.
Would you like to read the chapter title for next week?
Yeah. Do you want me to read all three?
No, just the next one. We're not going to ruin what happens, but how do we begin next week?
Okay. Flipping back to it. Riverland forces cross the Lu and capture once again the foreign king. Shuge Liang sees through a false submission and makes the third capture.
The third capture! I can't help but notice you skipped one there.
God.
Well, it says capture once again the foreign king, so that would be
I just I appreciate that we're just gonna get into suddenly it's Lupin the Third for another reason.
And actually can I say the end of chapter 89, just the last sentence, the read on?
I mean go nuts.
So this is the chapter after that. Would Meng Huo ever be subdued, read on? So
Team Rocket is blasting off again.
God. So yeah, I was ready to talk about how this chapter, the only thing that I really got that I appreciated in this chapter was after Kong Ming, you know, perfectly plays all the rebels against each other and, you know, beats all the rebellion and is this perfect genius. And he captures Meng Huo and he is like, why did you rebel against, you know, like your land and your people? And he's like, rebel? You people showed up like 20 years ago. I've been here for generations. I didn't rebel against shit. And I'm like, it's true.
This is the one thing Shu really just doesn't have is like, you know, generational legacy. They're not from here. They took this place
they
over.
They did just show up.
They asked to come in to like take refuge. And they're like, this is a nice place you got here. I'm just going to take it.
And then they had an opportunity. Yep. I mean, I don't think it would have worked for the Man family. Cause I don't think they're, or the Man, clan, but, they had an opportunity to take it over sort of like peacefully. They had an opportunity to be handed the kingdom and they refused it so that they could later make a big mess of it.
Dumbass.
But don't worry, this is a heaven-defying army.
Yep, sure is.
This whole tendency of Kong Ming and other fourth dimensional chess players to basically be like, here's the two best generals in our army, but I'm gonna keep them in the back, and once they get angry, I'm just gonna be like, oh, you probably don't know anything, so I'm just gonna keep you there. And that gets them to do what he wanted them to do already. Just talk to them and tell them what you need them to do. This is just getting... like, how is anyone supposed to trust you if this is your strategy each time?
You can't not do seventh, like, dimensional chess bullshit. Kong Ming's incapable of it.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, Kong Ming has an established habit of negging. General specifically. I mean, like, this is just his tactic. He doesn't trust in sincerity. He doesn't think sincerity is going to win people over. He is damaged in this way. And so he thinks the best way is to make them think they are getting one over on him, and that will motivate them extra hard. And to be fair, he does seem like an asshole, and that would motivate me. If I thought I was getting one over on Kong Ming, I would probably be more excited to do something.
That's fair, for sure.
That's true.
The problem is, I also would know that I wouldn't be because it's Kong Ming, and he read ahead in the book.
If Kong Ming said, like, a few chapters in, it's okay, I read ahead in the book, I wouldn't even blink. Like, it'd be like, oh, okay, yeah, sure, whatever.
The Book of Heaven.
There is a part where he gets visited by a group that is basically the Mandate of Heaven, or the Messengers from Heaven.
Yeah, I have renewed hope because of chapter titles, but I am not enjoying the Kong Ming show.
You just gotta give yourself over to the weird plans.
Hear me out.
Yep.
What if a cat stole his fan and he spent a chapter chasing the cat but trying to make sure no one saw the fan?
That could work. Now we're going somewhere.
And there was a big knight there who was making a pizza.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Okay.
We're all aboard. All right.
Well, next week we're going to watch episodes 88, 89, and 90 of Code Geass, and,
God, if only.
Wait, those are, duh! It did not make that many episodes!
No, that's the joke, Jackson.
I know, For a second I thought it was 250 250 episode seasons, so I was like, wait, those are the worst ones! That's all the shit and the thing, you know!
Oh my god,
the shit and the thing.
If those were 50 episode seasons?
Do not pretend that you didn't know exactly what I meant there, Em!
I don't know what you're talking about. Never seen Code Geass in my life. That's some hot bullshit. I don't watch your trash ass anime. Watch good stuff.
I don't know what you're talking about. What... it's bad. It's a bad.
Spicy. Should we end this podcast?
Yeah. Jackson, what, you know.
What? No.
What do people want to find you?
If you want to find me on the internet, you can go to @headfallsoff on twitter.com and you will find some tweets. If you want to find the podcast that me and Em do, you can go to abnormalmapping.com and you can find a bunch of shows that we do. Abnormal Mapping is a game club that we do. We've got a Kentucky Route Zero episode coming out very, very soon. Em does And Then an Airplane with our friend Autumn. That is having a Spirited Away episode releasing soon. You should check that out.
It will already be out.
That'll already be out by the time this goes up. This one goes up quick. Yes. Okay.
Unless this goes up tomorrow. Yes.
Yeah, we do Tuesdays.
Okay, then yes, in that case, the Spirited Away episode just came out. You should go listen to that.
Yeah, if you want to support us, you can do that at patreon.com/normalmapping. This week we had 6 on to talk about Gundam Wing and the arrival of the Tall Geass. Which was pretty cool. Also, Space Runaway Ideon remains one of just the most rewarding shows if you have like a black belt in mecha anime possible, which we do. So there you go.
It's definitely our... Remember like 2 years ago when we were like, we don't really know anything. We feel like we're babies here.
Yeah.
Last year was the big one. We really graduated.
Now we're babies in a normal suit.
Now we're babies in a normal suit.
Laura Shoot Dunbine.
So you can find me at JBU3 on twitter.com. Most of my stuff is on scanlinemedia.com or patreon.com/scanlinemedia. At the end of this week, we'll be recording our next episode of Novel Not New, a True End podcast, which you can find at readinggames.online. The one that we're about to discuss is The Last Express, a rotoscoped adventure game by Jordan Mechner. It should be a lot of fun.
And I am SixDetmar. You can find me on Twitter at SixDetmar, SixDetmar. Same places as Jen, scanlinemedia.com, patreon.com/scanlinemedia. So another thing you can do if you want to hear more M is by the time this comes out, the latest episode of Common Ground will be out, and you can hear why you should just watch tokusatsu shows and not make them like your job. You should just watch them.
Oh, I really definitely just went in on productivity posting in that episode.
Yeah. Well, and I took it to heart because we recorded that like a month ago.
Yes.
So. All right. Well, folks, until next time, read on.
Read on.
Read on.